Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud. Of course, it's available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or you could always head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out all of the great articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. We have a big show tonight with former Anaheim Fire Captain John Cox is going to join us. But first off, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
I'm doing good. I'm really excited about tonight's show. Having Captain Cox on, he's going to give us a lot of insight on some of the things that he has seen being in the field that he's in. And when I say things that he's seen, things like riots.
Yeah, he's going to give us a blast from the past.
Oh, yeah, the Rodney King riots. And that was an interesting time. And you know what? During those riots, guess who was up front and center? Kerosene Maxine Waters. I think she got the name Kerosene Maxine from back in the day. I think it was 93 or 95 during the LA riots over the Rodney King beating. Apparently, at the time, she said, burn it down. Officers were acquitted. You know, we're encountering something similar to that today. Some 20 plus years later, we're having issues, so they say, with law enforcement. I beg to differ. Yes, Andrew, there are some bad cops that are out there. But as I've said before, there are also bad doctors, police officers, teachers, lawyers. In every field that you encounter, there are bad people. But for some reason, when it comes to the law enforcement, all bad. And a majority of our police officers, law enforcement agents, are made up of minorities. And these issues that seem to arise always take place in minority neighborhoods, but more so in towns and cities whose government is Democrat. Why is it that these issues always arise where you have Democrat-held governments? No one seems to want to address that.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear what our guest, Captain John Cox, retired firefighter for the Anaheim Fire Department, is going to have to say tonight about the defunding of the police that we've heard, the rhetoric over the past year. Firemen know firsthand how much police officers do for the community, especially these inner cities in places like Los Angeles, California. The police officers are so underappreciated by the Black community in particular. It's really disappointing to see.
It is. It's very, very much so. And like you said, he would know firsthand as to what our officers deal with in these Democrat-held towns and cities, whereby their policies have failed. And now they're looking at, we want to defund the police. Whose policies are these? Democrats. So again, they're exacerbating the problem even more so, as opposed to identifying the problem and addressing the problem. Why is it that Black men, Black boys can't just stop? Why is it that minorities can't follow instructions? Now, the other day, we saw a video of a white kid being knocked down by the police officer because they weren't listening or following instructions. So it happens across the spectrum. But whenever it involves a Black person and a white police officer, it's blown out of proportion. So without further ado, let's bring on our guest, John Cox, so that he could give us some insight and share with us what he has seen. Captain John Cox, how is it going?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. We're glad to have you on. Excited to hear some of your stories because you have been on the front lines and you have friends who've told you the stories about what is happening, what's going on. And like I said in the opening, some 25 plus years ago, a similar situation was happening in California with Rodney King. So talk to us.
Well, actually for me, it goes back a little further than that. In 1965, I was a senior in high school and we had the first LA riots, referred to as the Watts riots. I lived about 22 miles from Watts. Our community, this little town of Whittier, the Whittier Police Department had let it be known that the riots were probably going to occur. Everything was on edge. For a couple of days, things were really just boiling over. And there was a lot of speculation, a lot of comments from the Crips and the Bloods to LA Black street gangs that they were going to leave the LA area and come to suburban and Whittier and the other Downey and other local small towns and bring the riot to us. And so everybody was on edge, probably paid a lot more attention to what was going on. The TV, you know, back in those days, I think we had our first color TV around 1963, 64. So you got to be able to watch this stuff in color. But that set the stage for what occurred in 1992. A lot of people don't realize what had happened in those early days from the 1940s to the 1960s, what caused those initial riots. It was during a time that illegal immigration was really getting out of control. Cheap labor was the illegal Mexican-American coming in. They were taking all the jobs. The Black community was being left behind. They were felt marginalized. The biggest crime that was happening in those days was primarily illegal Mexican gangs and the Zoot Zoot riots that occurred in the 1940s. And there was a lot of Mexican black on Mexican on black crime that was going on. Some of the later black gangs were eventually put together as protection against the Mexican gangs. From that point on, things just boiled over and over and over. Back in those days, when that first incident occurred on Florence Avenue there, when it went down, it was crazy. They burnt down the city. And from that point on, nobody wanted to, and that was mostly South Central. Nobody wanted to go back in and put businesses in the community. So for the next 30 years, 40 years through the 90s, it just festered and festered and festered. A lot of unemployment. There was a lot of gang activity going on from a lot of the illegal Mexican gangs, and the police were reacting to that. Some of that reaction spilled over against the Black community. You know, earlier, Rob, you were talking about there's bad doctors, bad lawyers, bad police officers. There were probably things going on in the 40s, 50s, and 60s that were probably a little bit out of control. I don't think it was much different than today. I don't believe police officers got up every morning with the idea that they're going to go out and hurt somebody or hurt a person of color. But there were probably people in that time frame, especially then, those were a generation of people that's not like the generation we have today, where racist feelings were probably stronger. And so there was probably some bad cops and bad actors during those days. But it was the community itself. And this is the one standard thing that seems to carry on from the 1940s, the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And here we are in 2021. The common thread is the Black community cannot deal with the legal system. No matter what the outcome is, they want a riot. No verdict is just. No verdict is enough. As a comparison, the O.J. Simpson trial, which everyone knew he was guilty of what he did, there were no riots. The white community did not riot because O.J. Simpson got off. But had that been a reverse of the Black community and a white assailant killing a Black person in the same manner, the Black community would have rioted and burnt down the city. And so you have to ask, why? Well, my belief is that it's not the vast majority of the citizens in the Black community as much as it is the agitators, the Maxine Waters, the people that fly in, the Black Panthers, the typical race baiters, and that whip up the community to the point where they become a mob. And once there's a mob, there's no controlling the mob. They lose control, and it's like blind sheep going off the cliff. One person breaks the window in the store, and pretty soon the whole community's in that store ripping it off by people that normally would not do that. But under the conditions and circumstances of the riot and everything going on, those same people react in that manner.
Yeah, Captain Cox, just to take a step back, a lot of people seen the video footage from the 2020 riots in Minneapolis, those massive fires, and he's seen the fire department there putting out the fires right alongside all the rioters. And then people who remember back to the 1992 Rodney King riot, as you mentioned, there were big fires at that riot that the firemen had to put out as well. What was it like to go to work back then on the days of the Rodney King riots?
Well, we knew a couple of days in advance, all of Southern California did, the police departments and the fire service knew that there was a high potential for riots if the verdict didn't come out right. And there was some speculation that the verdicts might not come out right. So I had come into work a couple of days early before those of the day and found a bulletproof vest hanging on my fire engine. There were four of them, and I knew that was,
wow.
I go, well, this is interesting. Now we've got blood pressure cuffs and fire hose, axes, ladders, and bulletproof vests. And so the next morning, we actually got the call to go. And that was the fire department, the city manager, and everybody decided that we weren't going to go up there without an escort. So the police chief gave us, we had five, back in those days, you could go up as a department strike team or a mixed strike team. It was decided that this would not be a mixed strike team. The fire chief said, I'm going to send five Anaheim engines. I'm not going to be responsible for Garden Grove or other guys. I'm only going to be responsible for my people. And I'm going to ask the other cities to be responsible for them. And so we went up as a five engine strike team with an escort of the Anaheim SWAT vehicle in front and about five patrol cars behind us all the way to LA. And they stayed with us the entire time, going from fire to fire to fire to fire. And you couldn't even get to, there's so many things burning that all we could do is go in, knock them down real quick, and then go on to the next one and try to save the next building. And it was kind of like the, I think they call it in Detroit, a devil's night during Halloween. It was like that. Just everywhere you looked, something was on fire. We were being shot at. Bullets were bouncing off the rigs. We were pulled back numerous times and said, hey, you're not going in. It's too dangerous right now. And then we'd finally be able to get back in. But that was what the whole night was.
Wow, that is incredible to think what these first responders go through on a daily basis, and the mainstream media pays no attention to it and it does not give them any credit. We saw this in the 2020 riots, that the mainstream media did not give the police officers that were handling these riots any credit. They had people throwing rocks at them, spitting on them, all kinds of things. Captain Cox, what have you made over the past year of this whole defund the police narrative that we've been hearing about?
Was the question, what do I think of it?
Yeah, what have your thoughts been on the defund the police movement?
Well, again, it's being perpetrated by a group of people that really don't really care about police reform. They're using police reform as a conduit to just eliminate the police department, let criminals out, eliminate bail. There's a group of people in this country that want anarchy, want the crisis, want the chaos, and the exact people that they pretend to represent, the Black community and the minority community and the poor communities, are the ones that are going to suffer from all of this, because that's where all the crime is. Those are the people that need their protection. And if you're going to eliminate the police, crime is just going to go crazy. And the very people that they supposedly represent, which I don't believe they do, When you come in, when you talk to people that live in the community, they want the police around. They're not for disbanding the police, but it's really sad to see what we're going through.
It really is. And something that you said earlier on when you were describing the situation in Watts, and then we had Rodney King in 92, is how businesses were burned down. And looking at the Watts situation, you look at the number that happened, I think, in the 60s, and look how long it took for them to turn this thing around so that the community could become viable again. And it's not to say that it's where it should be even now. Look at Rodney King. Look at what happened when they burned down buildings, burned down the town, and it took forever for them to attract businesses to those places. Now let's fast forward to the spring, summer of 2020, and you look at the carnage that took place in Minnesota, Oregon, Seattle, New York City, and on, and for what? Because someone changed the narrative. Someone screwed the narrative up, had a vested interest to sell something to a naive public that just wasn't true. And in the end, look at the people that suffer. We're saying to defund the police. Biden is saying that he wants to make everything fair for minorities. Well, how can you do that when you're defunding the people that will protect these communities? How can you do that, make things fair and equal, when you're allowing the media to put out false narratives about the police so that these communities won't trust them? How can you make things fair, and how can you build up a group of people when their communities have been decimated because of a lie? And now the lie is Black Lives Matter. I'm Black. I know my life matters. I don't need a white liberal or a liberal Black politician to tell me that. I don't need a sign on the street to tell me that. To me, that's offensive. Because now you're saying that I don't know my own worth, that my life matters, and I need other people to tell me. So how can you instill in a group of people that you are important when you're constantly telling them or treating them as if though they're the lowest people on the totem pole? And when we look at this and reflect back on it, it's always happening in Democrat cities and towns. Their policies, this whole idea of reimagining policing. Barack Obama came out, just reimagine policing. The congressman, Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, all of them. And they say it so eloquently, just reimagine policing. Well, what do you mean by reimagine policing? Why can't we reimagine telling people when the police says to stop, stop means to stop? Well, Black people are the only ones that have to have this dreadful conversation to their sons. Well, others are having the same conversation. They're saying you listen to authority. But maybe we need to instill that into Black families, because the media is telling them you don't have to stop. You should reimagine the police. This is devastating on a group of people that they're trying to build up. Look at the guy, whose family, George Floyd, $27 million. I'm sorry. His life was not worth $27 million. That money was used as an example. It was a political move. And they shouldn't have announced it before the verdict. They should have waited until after the trial. But be that as it may, $27 million? I don't get it. And now you have these other people that are looking at this, and they're going to try to top that. This is not who we are as a nation. And Black people, certainly, we're survivors. It's not who we are. So we need to rethink this and look at what we're allowing people to do to our communities. Because if it took Watts 30 plus years to turn around and they still aren't where they should be, it took South Central almost 25 plus years and they still aren't where they should be, Minnesota, how long will it take them to turn around? And if we start saying reimagine the police, like you said, Captain, we're going back to those days whereby the police weren't there. And if they were there, they looked the other way. We're going back to a lawless society, a society where anything goes. You have gunfires, you have people shooting, crime is up in California and New York, blue states, blue governors. In the cities, the mayors are Democrat. Why can't people see this? It's not the police, they're not the problem. The problem are the policies of Democrats. That's the problem. You don't see this in red states.
Yeah, that narrative that, well, the conversation, for example, for some reason people, and that's been a real popular thing. I know Don Lemon brings it up all the time. The conversation that a Black parent has with their children about police. It's not just the Blacks. I've had that conversation with both of my boys.
Okay.
I've had that conversation with almost all the kids that played ball for me, including a Prince Fielder who used to play ball for me. When these kids were 12 and 13 years old, and my own kids when they were 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, I said, hey, you guys are going to be out doing something. You're not, and don't think that I don't know what you're doing, because I probably did a whole bunch worse than what you guys are going to do. Parents are not stupid, but you're going to have a conversation with the cops. They're going to show up. They're going to talk to you. You be respectful. It's no, sir. Yes, sir. And don't be a smart ass and jump in their face. And it has nothing to do with being Black or white. It has to do with respecting authority and dealing with those issues. Young kids will never understand what a cop goes through every day that he makes a traffic stop. So it's hard to get kids and young people to put themselves in the role of a cop. So with that said, there is one thing that all kids can do, Black, white, it doesn't matter, Mexican, is be respectful, do what you're told to do, comply with the request, and don't resist arrest if it comes to it, because you're going to lose. Everything that needs to be done after that can be done in the court system. But unfortunately, the black community has been led to believe by all these activists and mouthpieces that it's their inherent right to resist and to push back because it's unfair and we should not be treated that way. Well, they're not being treated any different than I was treated when I got a traffic ticket. The other thing you were talking about was the communities of them coming back, Seattle, New York, I think you said Minnesota. There's actually, I look at it a little differently. There are all those communities, Seattle, New York, Minnesota, LA, but there's Baltimore, there's Detroit, and Minnesota too is a very, at least in the area, is a very high minority community. Some communities like New York, the stuff that's going on in New York will come back. Now, they may not come back till they figure out how to run a city, but it won't be because people aren't willing to invest in the city. But Baltimore, Detroit, the minority cities that have been destroyed, those are the ones that are going to pay the price for all this liberal bullshit. Oh, excuse me. Maybe I'm not supposed to use that word.
Speak freely.
This narrative that they're pushing, but it's that minority community that's going to suffer. Parts of LA came back. Beverly Hills came back. Dodger Stadium came back after they bulldozed the community and stole all their property to build Dodger Stadium. The fancy parts of LA, Sunset and all those areas, they'll come back. Malibu, they'll come back. But it's South Central, it's Watts. It's those communities that won't come back, that'll take years and years and years. The one thing that Trump and was trying to do with the enterprise zones was to go in and invest in these communities like Watts and South Central to bring businesses back into those communities. That's what the community needs. They need that, and then that spawns jobs. And from the jobs, people make income and they start feeling better about themselves. You know, by the 1990s, 50% of all Black males living in South Central were unemployed. They had lost jobs to immigration, cheap labor, and the Asian market. And the Black community resented the Asians because they didn't understand the Asians. They thought they were given preferential treatment. And the Asian community was very entrepreneur. They started their own businesses. Nobody gave that to them. They just started their own businesses and made it work. The Black community resented that. And during the riots, went after all of those Asian businesses. The Asians ended up having to protect all their own businesses. And it took a long time for the Black community and the Asian community to start getting along. There's still some resentment, I think.
Yeah, it's crazy how history repeats itself, huh?
It does, yeah. And it's all being pushed by such a, it's just tragic that the media and the politicians keep pushing this narrative. And you're right, it all generates out of the heavily Democratic run cities for the last 50 years. They talk about institutional racism. Well, if it's institutional, that means it's actually installed into the fabric of these communities, of the schools and the businesses and the politics and everything like that. Well, geez, the Democrats have been running these cities for 50 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If they got a problem with institutional racism, why didn't they fix it?
Yeah, the opportunity zones, I agree with you, Captain Cox. They were just one of many things President Trump was doing to put things into the right direction. We are here with Fire Captain John Cox, and you are tuned into After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app on either an Android or an Apple to keep track of all of the great shows. We will be back with more from guest retired Fire Captain John Cox to talk Maxine Waters, the Gavin Newsom recall, and more California politics.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As we celebrate our 5-year anniversary, America Out Loud is expanding its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors, all carrying a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutloud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
And we're back, and our guest is Captain John Cox. And before we went on break, Captain Cox was sharing with us some interesting point that a lot of our guests and listeners are completely unaware of. Loss of wages in the Black community due to illegal aliens that took place around the 60s in California, and is taking place now in 2020 in the Mexican border. What I think is so important, what people need to understand, is that when we allow these groups of people to come in, and it's not that we're against anyone coming to the United States, but we want them to come here legally. But when they do come, a majority of the time, they're placed into Black neighborhoods, not placed, or they move there because the property values aren't as expensive in other neighborhoods. The same thing with the Asians. You can go to any Black neighborhood and you will find a Chinese restaurant, you will find a Asian nail salon or an Indian restaurant. When I first came to New York, I was living in Harlem, and on every corner, just about, there were Asian restaurants, laundromats, nail salons. So you think about this. If this group of people, if they're coming in and they're willing to take any job, or if they're entrepreneurial and they're creating jobs for themselves, what does that leave for Blacks? So that animosity is created because, hey, we're fighting for the same cheese and they're going to get it because they're being more entrepreneurial and they're making it happen while Blacks waiting for handouts from the government. Look at today, 2021. Look at what Joe Biden is doing. We're going to give this to the Black people because we need to make up for the sins of the past. Don't go to work, we're going to give you unemployment. Don't go to work, we'll give you food stamps. So if you're constantly giving to me, I have no incentive to get out there and do it for myself. Whereas other groups are saying, okay, yeah, you're going to give me a helping hand, but I'm going to use that as a springboard to go to the next level. So this has been happening systematically throughout time. So as you pointed out so eloquently, Captain Cox, that if there is institutional racism or systemic racism, as the Democrats love to say, who is causing this? I go back to my earlier missive. Look at the policies in these blue states. It's give, 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 and expect nothing in return. So if you're constantly giving to a group of people, you're suppressing them. You're not allowing them to get out and work. You're not allowing them to be self-sufficient, but rather dependent upon you on a system, socialism. And when it's all said and done, when we spend up everyone's money and the people, the high wage earners in those blue states have decided, okay, we can't take it, we're going to leave. Then what do you do? New York, our high wage earners are leaving. New York has lost congressional seats. So is California. Now you can blame it on COVID-19 all you want to, Mr. Mayor de Blasio, Governor Cuomo, Governor Newsom. You guys can blame it on COVID-19. No, no. It was a perfect storm and you're hiding behind it. This allowed you to put forth your socialist agenda, to fast track it, so to speak. But that had nothing to do with, and if it did, it was only a minuscule part of it happening. You guys saw an opportunity and you took it. You're making the cities unsafe. You're creating a dependency on a most vulnerable population. And you're telling them, we've got your back because everything is about racism. When does it stop? Oprah Winfrey, she's a billionaire. She could care less. LeBron James, he's a quarter of a billionaire. He could care less. But they're telling you, you can't do it because there's racism. Well, how did you guys do it? Did they not look at your skin color? Did they just let you slide by? How did you do it and the others can't do it? You're protected by security guards and you want us to give up the police for social workers? They're seeing right now, a recent study came out and said that most people are against defunding the police, but our politicians, they keep saying, oh, defund the police. They're bad people. No, you're the bad people, Mr. Politician. So again, you look at cause and effect and how all these things are so interrelated and how the jobs that were lost because of letting illegal aliens come in, letting more people come into the neighborhoods. And then in those neighborhoods, you have friction. And then the police comes in. You see where I'm going with this? So it creates a vicious cycle with people. They're already frustrated. They're already angry. And it explodes so that when the police does come in, you want to take out the aggression and frustration on them. And all they're trying to do is help you. Your life doesn't matter until you yourself understands it. So Maxine Waters, who has been on the scene since the 90s, and she's still there doing the exact same thing that she has always done. So Captain Cox, what can you tell us about Kerosene Maxine?
I like her nickname. Well, it's interesting that they've whitewashed or cleaned out some old records, because I vividly remember her on the steps of City Hall. I believe it was City Hall, but it was outside her, and she was surrounded by the mayor, a number of other city officials. At that time, I believe she was a House of Representative member. She used to be an assemblywoman in the state of California, but I think at that point she'd already had gone to the House. And she sat there, and I sat there and I said to myself, they're going to burn down the city. She just told everybody it's okay, burn it down. I couldn't believe it. I said, she ought to be arrested. This is absolutely incredible that she could sit there and say that as an elected official. And that is no longer anywhere to be found. The only thing that's available anymore on YouTube or anywhere on the internet is a news report of her and another group of Black people. I think Al Sharpton was there. I think the gentleman from New York, he's no longer there. I can't remember his name. Kind of chubby faced round.
No, you said Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton, but this other gentleman. He was an ex-Marine. Actually, I kind of liked him, but he was always there throwing gasoline too. And she was speaking at this, and they've been using this particular clip to say, no, she didn't say burn down the riots. Well, that's not the clip that I remember, and that's not the clip that I saw. In fact, I never saw that clip until just recently. The clip I remember was outside in front of City Hall. She was there in the middle, and she said, burn it down. She's always been that way. She can say it's nighttime and then deny it and say actually it was daytime. She has been doing this with the Trump people when she said, get in their faces, tell them they're not welcomed here. She gets away with things that nobody else can get away with, and she's destructive. She's caused so much divisiveness between the races. It's just pitiful what she has done. And not only her, but her, this attorney that they recently had that just got the $27 million. I mean, these people just get up and say this guy was assassinated, this guy did this guy did that. They completely ignore the facts, just like the cop that shot the 13-year-old girl with a knife that was going to stab the other one. They concoct their own story. It's going to get to a point pretty soon. I think if I was a police officer, I would absolutely refuse to respond to any call involving Black people.
And that's my fear, right? That's the fear that I have. I think we're going to see a lot of that. And do you blame them?
No, not at all. I mean, if it meant me going to jail, because no matter what you do, if you do it one way, you're damned if you do, damned
if you don't. And they're taking away qualified immunity, so they can very easily. Well, we're going to sue for this, and like you said, Ben Crump, the other race baiter, I think he's taken the mantle from Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. So he's now shaking people down for money. Whenever there's an incident, there he is. And it's like he started with Trayvon Martin, and now he's making a career out of this, and people don't see it. But $27 million? No.
Yeah, I
find that hard to swallow.
Yeah, I do too. I what I saw happen to that George Floyd was terrible.
It's unfortunate, right? It's terrible.
But he's a career criminal. He resisted arrest right from the beginning. He should not have died in that manner. The cops, the guy that did that, created such a mess for all police officers. So he got what he's got. He's getting what he deserves. However, everybody that is capitalizing on this, they're doing it for the money. They don't give a damn about George Floyd. They couldn't care about George Floyd. This is all about a narrative, all about the agenda. And it's just absolutely terrible. You had said, you were talking about the policies and stuff that create these problems. You know, most people that I run across, and I've run across people in the fire service, in Major League Baseball, in coaching that I did, in the coaching at the high schools, in my construction work, and all the things when I was racing cars, everything I've done, I've run across blacks, whites, Asians, Mexicans, Koreans, Hawaiians, everybody. And most people are good people and left on their own will want to get along and have a job and have a family and do the right thing. And it's government and politicians that create this problem. They did it, you know. Unfortunately, one of the presidents that I still dearly love, but the Iran-Contra thing, the crack cocaine epidemic that destroyed South Central LA, all of these things that have been done by government, local government, state government, the federal government, getting in the way of letting people just live, the educational system, denying blacks to be able to go to the school of their choice, and putting them in a school system where they have failed and failed and failed. Back in the 1950s, there was black high schools. There was approximately, I think, 47 of them in the United States. And at that time, those black high schools were 4 years behind the white high schools. And if you were an eighth grader in a white high school, you were working at eighth grade level. The same black kids at that same time were working at a fourth grade level. By 1957, these black high schools in Baltimore, in New York, in different places, cut the educational gap down to 6 months in 7 years. And they were on the way to completely redefining education for the black community until they ran into the buzzsaw of the unions and government stopping them from having charter schools, school choice, and everything else. And they're still being denied that, which is one of the biggest reasons why the black community will continue to have a difficult time getting anywhere in this life, because they're so far behind educational wise. And it's all the Democrats that are fighting all of these possibilities that would make life better for the black community, but it's the Democrats that fight it all.
Yeah, we've seen career politicians like Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, and so many others who've been there for decades, and nothing has changed for the black community or anything for Americans at all, for that matter. It seems like Maxine Waters is the poster child for term limits, if you ask me. But Captain Cox, you're down there in Southern California, and a lot's going on in your state. Currently, there's a recall Gavin Newsom effort in effect. What do you think's going to happen with the recall Gavin Newsom? Do you think that he will get recalled? And then if he does, do you think that California is ready to vote him out?
Well, if he gets recalled, and my understanding doesn't get at least 50%, he can't even run again. I think there's a good chance he cannot run because he's going to get recalled. But after that, I have no idea what is going to happen. It's almost starting to become a clown show out here.
What strong candidate will put their proverbial hat in the ring, toss it in the ring? That they're saying Caitlyn Jenner. They're saying Randy Quaid. I, for one, think that Caitlyn Jenner is a country club Republican. She has name recognition and, you know, but as far as being able to put forth conservative policies, I don't see it. I think that it would just be another term, something similar to Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't see any Ronald Reagans out there.
You're talking about Bruce or what's her name? What is her name?
Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
Of the Kardashian fame.
You know, she was a conservative, but I don't see her running. I mean, I see her running, but I don't see her being able to govern. My pick right now on the conservative side, that somebody that I think can win, I don't know if he would run, but is Rick Grenell. I don't know if he'll run. I think he could win.
But do you think there's enough conservatives and Democrats, well, not just conservatives, but Democrats that would cross over and support his candidacy, considering he's so linked to Trump?
I think he can overcome that because he still is, he was and still is his own person. He's got a pretty nice track record. He's got a lot of governmental experience. He was an ambassador. He worked in three different administrations. He's never been a bomb thrower. He's a very serious person. I would say, yeah, maybe his only negative might be the fact that he's tied to Trump. But then
the media will use that to bring him down because they.
The media will. It's hard to say. John Cox, you know, ran the other John Cox.
Uh-huh.
He ran against Newsom last time, did better than anybody else did against him. He's been pushing hard. He might be able to, but I think the media is going to come after anybody that's going to run against Newsom.
They will, as well as big tech, because he's a big tech guy. And I think he's gotten a lot of fundings, he being Newsom, from big tech. And he's coddled them. So they're going to protect their little boy as best they can. So I was looking, think of Rick Grenell also, and he seems to be toying around with the idea. But I, like you, I don't know of any strong conservatives that could put forth a fight. And I kind of blame the GOP because they've known this day was going to possibly come. Like, what are they waiting for? Even look at New York, look at Cuomo. Cuomo eventually will leave office. And I see no name recognition. I know there's Lee Zeldin. He's thinking about running. But these guys have got to be on their A game. They've got to get out there front and center and start talking to the people and letting them know, hey, this is what we will do, as opposed to being afraid that it's a lost cause and we won't do it because this Democrat is all populated heavily Democrat and we won't be able to win. I don't believe that. They've got to do more.
Well, as far as, let's say Newsom isn't even allowed to win the that's where I think it's going to be. I don't think Newsom's going to be in a position where he can actually run. So that means the Democrats are going to have to put somebody else in to run. Now, that could be the lieutenant governor. I don't know who that is, but it could be him. I think he is a Democrat. I can't think of any other Democrats that could make a run for it out here. You're right about the conservative Republicans out here. The Republican Party out here is a complete waste of time. The group of people that are running the Lincoln Club out here are just worthless as far as I'm concerned. They're John McCain type conservatives. They walk down the street. They don't want to veer off the white line one way or another, more than about a half an inch. They want to be liked by everybody. They won't take a stand. They got no balls. They lost this state forever because their inability to run the right people. I don't know. And then you got Jenner, who's, you know, that's just a clown show. And then everybody else, Randy Quaid. I thought Randy Quaid was still in jail in Canada.
He's back, I think. He made it back.
They gave him out. They let him out to run for governor, huh?
Right. To continue the circus.
Yeah. So, I, you know, when you start seeing these kind of things, God, you got to shake your head. You go, wow. There was a guy in La Habra, out of La Habra, California, which is north of Anaheim, Mexican gentleman. I saw something the other day that he was interested in running for governor. He's on the Republican side. I don't, you know, I've never heard of this guy. So it's going to be interesting. I think the recall will go. I think there will be a recall. And I'm almost positive of it. After that, my God, I have no idea.
Yeah, Captain Cox, you're a business owner yourself, and you know what it's like to employ people. Joe Biden is talking about making the wealthy in California and New York pay up to 50% in taxes. How much effect do you think that'll have on the economy, particularly even for the lower income people?
Well, it's going to kill us. What people don't realize is I'm a pass-through corporation. So I'm a subchapter S. I'm not a full-on corp. So what happens is that these big corporations, they have so many attorneys working out everything they need to do. You know, they say we're going to raise the capital gains. We're going to go after the corporations, make these people pay the money they need to pay, da-da-da-da-da. Well, Amazon doesn't pay any tax at all. They push it off to this next year, or they do this, or they have this, or they have that. They have this incentive to build over here and this. They never pay taxes. They ought to pay taxes. My God, the guy's the richest man in the world. As a pass-through corporation, my wife's and mine, everything our corporation has in profit at the end of the year passes to us as individuals. And so then we have to file jointly, my wife and I together. And if we make over, I believe, 400,000 together, we're going to get taxed at somewhere around 50%, 55%. Right now, we're being taxed at, I believe it's about 38%, which is high enough. You know, I wrote a check to the government a couple of years ago for $220,000. We pay our taxes. I don't want to pay any more than I have to, but we do pay. What's going to happen is we're going to have to raise prices. The taco is going to cost, pretty soon a taco is going to cost $25 for a taco. And this is what the Democrats never understand. We're going to have, if taxes go up and I have to pay more money, there's only one way I can recover to keep the people employed. I got to raise my prices so that we can still make the amount of money we need to make to pay our bills. And then what they're going to do is double up on us. They're going to increase taxes. And I heard he was going to push the executive order for minimum wage to $15. So all these small businesses are going to get hit at the same time, both barrels, one on minimum wage, one on taxes. That's probably going to mean they're going to, you know, there's these fast food places are already looking at getting rid of waiters and waitresses, and everything's being done computerized. All that ends up doing is hurting the low income people. All the time. That's who always pays the price, is right. The middle class.
And the Democrats, they don't realize it. They don't want to address it. They just want to tax, 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 and tax, and never realize that, you know, this has like a trickle-down effect. If you're going to keep taxing these people, they're going to look at it and say, well, there's no need for me to stay in business. And businesses are started by the small businessmen and women, not these huge corporations. Yeah, they employ a lot of people, but you have the mom and pop businesses that keep the economy going. You look at the economy that was hit by COVID-19, and that's the reason why so many people are without jobs. But the Democrats don't get it. They think, oh, we're doing something big here by taxing and taxing and not realizing the people that they're hurting. And then what happens? Goes back to what we were saying earlier, Captain. You will have illegals coming here, and then they will take those jobs because you've taxed everyone up to wazoo. So they'll take the jobs whereby they're paying them below minimum wage or under the table. And then who's affected by it? The Black community. And then what happens? Anger, frustration. It's a vicious cycle. It is a vicious cycle that keeps going, and it breeds itself, and it keeps turning over and over again. And it will keep going until someone has the balls, the guts to say, stop it. We need to look at this and we need to fix it. But right now we're on a train that's about to wreck, and it's a socialist communist train.
Oh yeah, and absolutely.
People need to wake up and realize it.
The Black community always gets hurt. They take its redistribution of wealth. They'll take all our taxes. Then they'll turn around and give it out as grants and money and freebies to the Black community or to whoever they decide to that they need to take care of, which then is you get no self-esteem or self-worth by not working. People need to work. People want to work. But the government has, since 1975, Equal Rights Amendments and stuff, and started giving everything away, the welfare state. And the Black community didn't have to work. Then you had the crack cocaine. Then you had this. Then you had that. And they have been told they're victims. And now there are so many people in the Black community that believe they're victims. And then the poor kids that are growing up in the Black communities that can't read and write, they can tell these poor kids can't put two sentences together, but they could run off who the starting five are for the Lakers, but they can't read. And those kids have been told they're victims. And now this equality stuff of everybody being treated the same, it's just completely ruining these kids and the whole Black community.
Right. So many of the priorities seem to be messed up here and in this country. That's what it takes to accomplish the American dream is hard work. And so many want the American dream, but they don't want to put in the hard work. Thank you so much to our guest tonight, retired fire captain John Cox, for joining us. And thank you for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud. Check out the revamped website over at AmericaOutLoud.com. Find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, and more. We will see you next time. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.